You're back in your civilian clothes.
I am. I couldn't quite catch him, so I had to change clothes.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. It is Wednesday, May 18th, and this is the regular meeting of the Public Works Advisory Board, and we're at the Vets Hall. We have a quorum. In fact, we have all of our members present, current members present. So I will call the meeting to order, and we will begin with a moment of silence. Thank you. We'll start with announcements. Any announcements that anybody wants to make at the present time? No? Go ahead.
I want to let everybody know that on behalf of 97.3 The Rock, sporting the colors here. Where's my camera? All right. We were in our fund drive for the last month, and we wrapped it up last Friday night right here. This stage looked quite different last Friday night. We should get some colored lights and have things going on during our meetings. But we wrapped it up with our free concert, and thanks to everyone's kind and generous donations, 97.3 The Rock not only made their fund goal, but exceeded it, so the station will remain on the air for another year of broadcast to serve the Estero Bay community. So thanks to everybody on behalf of the station for making the donations. Remember to tune us in 97.3 on your FM dial, or you may stream us at EsteroBayRadio.com. Thanks very much.
Chris? No? No. Okay. Well, I just wanted to say, first of all, that we just gave a great send-off this morning to the Amgen bike tour, and it was an absolute success. They're off safely, soundly, and we have to thank the entire city staff for all it did to make that possible. So it's a great honor for the city and was a great send-off for the bike team. I also wanted to announce that this Saturday, the League of Women Voters is sponsoring a Meet the Mayor, and this time it is going to be held in Morro Bay, and it is an opportunity to meet Mayor Jamie Irons for everyone out there, and he will be giving a presentation on the challenges and opportunities facing the city of Morro Bay in the future. So it's at 12 o'clock noon this Saturday, May 21st, at the Libertine Pub. It's free and open to the public. So if you can come, it's an opportunity to do that. And also, I just wanted to find out from perhaps either Rob or Kay, did we get an application for the PWAB board?
I did not check with the clerk's office. I believe we may have gotten one application.
Yeah. So we will hear soon if there will be a meeting with the city council.
Correct. Okay. They'll schedule interviews in the near future.
Very good. Good. Thank you. Okay. We will now, we have no presentations, so we will go on to public comment. I see we have a member of the public. Please come forward.
Good evening. Rick Deschler, Morro Bay. I just wanted to mention that at the last PWAB meeting, I spoke during when the garbage contract was being discussed, and I commented about the lack of education, that I felt the garbage company was providing for the city because various neighbors that I've had didn't have adequate information, especially about recycling, and I had suggested, you know, hopefully that we would get our recycle bins at least labeled so people would know what would go in there. Well, last Wednesday on my garbage day, I look out the window and I thought, I didn't stick a recycling bin out there. I went outside and I have this brand new spanking new recycle bin that I don't need because I already have one that does have the information imprinted on the top. So I thought, well, maybe they're replacing all of them up and down the street. No, I was the only person that they gave a brand new one to. I already know what goes in a recycling bin. It's a lot of the other people that don't. So I don't know what that guy from the garbage company was thinking, but you know, they came in and behind the fence, they took out my old recycling bin and left the new one up front by the street there. So I just wanted to let you know how things were interpreted last time that I spoke and how the garbage company followed through. It's nice to know that they do have recycle bins that have the imprint on the lids, but I really didn't need a brand new recycle bin. I hope they put a label on top of the other one. Thank you.
Is the imprint on top, is it a sticker, or is it actually imprinted, embossed into the plastic?
It's molded in and painted.
Oh, okay. Because I don't have it on mine.
I have an old one.
I just wonder if it's something they could go through and throw stickers on everybody's top
and
of their
cans. They do that in some towns. They give a sticker to every household, which would be the way to do it, so that you don't have all these other bins that are unmarked, and people that don't know what the requirements are for recycling would find out.
But you have to give them an A for effort.
I give them a C for effort. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, we will now close public comment. Oh, wait, we have another one. Oh, Mr. Livick.
I'd just like to comment on a musical event that's going to be happening this weekend. The San Luis Obispo Master Chorale will be performing at the Performing Arts Center. We'll be singing two pieces, a Haydn piece, Nelson's Mass, and a Handel piece, Dettingen Te Deum, are the two pieces. The Haydn is in Latin, while the Handel piece is in English. 7:30 p.m. at the PAC in San Luis Obispo. Tickets are available at pacslo.org. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Rob, I have a comment on that one. And for the last 4 years, I have three grandchildren that are in the Youth Symphony, and they play flute and various other instruments. And I've been on the music teacher for a long time to... It's nice to train them on classical music. It's nicer to have them play something that's familiar, that I've got the tune in my brain. And last Sunday was my oldest granddaughter's final, and they played wonderfully, and all the pieces they played, I knew.
Thank you, Stu. Okay, has everybody had a chance to read the minutes of the April 20th meeting?
I move to approve the minutes as stated.
Okay, is there a
second? I'll second that.
Stu will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Okay, director's report. Again, has everybody had a chance to read the director's report? Any questions for Rob or any comments? I'll start with Stu this time. On the director's report. How about you, Chris?
No.
Okay. Dave, no?
No.
No? Jan?
Oh, this is just a little frivolous little thing. I was just interested when I was reading about the street trees and the urban forest management plan. The first sentence, the city is currently in nesting season. From February 1st to July 1st, and so no city right-of-way trees shall be trimmed or removed unless in case of an emergency. I didn't realize we had a nesting season. It had never gone through my consciousness, but it was just interesting to read that. That's all.
Okay. My only question had to do with the installation of synthetic turf at Anchor Memorial Park, and I was just curious to know how those decisions get made, who makes them, and why that particular outcome there. And I was asked by a member of the Citizens Beautification Heritage Committee to ask this question. So
those park spaces down there, we've been evaluating for water use, because we need to cut back on water use. Anchor Memorial, actually the turf gets quite a bit of use down there. People like to sit, lay on that turf down there. So it didn't really lend itself to the bark dust. And I just got a text message that I have to kind of deal with.
Okay.
But I'll finish my sentence first.
Okay. Okay.
The didn't lend itself to the like the xeriscaping bark and native plantings because it's not comfortable to sit and lay on that area. So we did a little pilot with that park of using synthetic turf down there. There's a couple other parks that we'd like to do. Centennial Stairway, the little grass areas there. And that was made internally, a maintenance decision, internal to staff, and that's how that decision was made.
So I saw it this morning. It turned out well, and it looks like he used a good quality AstroTurf.
Yeah. It's actually from the first manufacturer. AstroTurf was their first product way back in the day, and they've gone on to very much approve that product. In fact, if you look closely at it, it's got dead grass colors in there, and it does have some loft to it, too.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if there's a way for this committee to provide any input to you on any of these decisions. They were specifically asking about that decision, but I'm just wondering if there's a way for that committee to either learn in advance about what's being planned or...
Sure. Probably with the, that was approved with the budget last year.
Okay.
So as we, move forward with our new work plan and the making the budget part of that planning, you'll see more of those
of the details.
Decisions. Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, I will pass that information on.
Okay.
Thank you.
And just want to point out that... Peter Sagan did win the stage in about 5 hours and 19 minutes. I think he made it to he wasn't part of the breakaway group, but they caught the breakaway group somewhere outside of Carmel, and he went on to win. He was last year's overall winner of the Tour of California.
All right.
And if you excuse me for just a minute, we have a water issue going on.
Oh, well,
on right,
we'll let you take care
right
of that, Rob.
Okay, thanks.
I was just going to mention, and I will do it on your behalf, since we are talking about water, that there are still some water conservation rebates available. So if you're interested at all and still want to save water, there's cash for grass, rain barrel irrigation, retrofit, smart irrigation controller, toilet refit, and Energy Star washing machine rebates available. So go to and some state water conservation rebates also available. So check it out on our website or www.saveourwaterrebates.com. Okay. Okay, all right. Well, let's let him take care of his emergency. Otherwise, we will come back to any remainder of the director's report, and we'll move on to item B2. And I think that's Damaris, right?
Yes, it is. Actually, it's Julia.
Okay. This is a review of the draft of the 2015 Urban Water Management Plan update. So.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Julia Aranda with M&S Engineers, a principal engineer in the Water Resources Group. We were selected by the city to prepare your 2015 Urban Water Management Plan, which I believe you were provided with a draft copy. So I just wanted to walk you through some highlights and give you a chance to ask questions.
Excellent, thank you.
So this is kind of the agenda of what I was gonna go through today. Do they have hard copies of the presentation as well? Okay.
Oh, the presentation, no.
Okay. Well, this is the agenda then. We'll walk you through it all. Background on urban water management planning, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, this was mandated by the Water Conservation Act of 2009, is the most recent legislation. It's commonly referred to as SBX 7-7. Every 5 years, the years ending in 0 and 5, every water agency in the state of California is required to prepare an urban water management plan. If you have more than 3,000 connections or you serve more than 3,000 acre feet per year of water, you are required to prepare one of these plans and submit it to the state of California. So since the city has, you meet that 3,000 connection criteria because you have 5,474 connections as of the end of 2015. That being said, you do only serve, in 2015, you had 1,074 acre feet of water served to your customers. Over the last 5 years, the state has kind of developed urban water management plans to be more standardized. Some of the things I'll walk you through, they come from this guidebook that they prepared. And you'll see there really is kind of a boilerplate format to it now. One of the things that was different is that agencies have the option this time to go with an individual or a regional plan. It didn't make sense for the city to be a part of a regional plan, so yours is just individually for the city itself. The other option that they provided this year was you could use fiscal year or calendar year data, which would have been great if the guidelines had come out in August of 2015 like they originally had anticipated, because your fiscal year goes from July 1st to June 30th, and it would have been done 6 months ago. But the final guidelines actually weren't released till February. So we just went ahead and did it on a calendar year basis for the year 2015. And the deadline to submit this to the Department of Water Resources is July 1st. The agencies who prepare one have to have it a public hearing and adopt it at a council meeting or a board meeting, whatever your governing agency is, and then it gets uploaded to the Department of Water Resources website no later than July 1st. As far as coordination, they do expect you to not do this in a vacuum. They do expect you to coordinate with your neighboring agencies or wholesalers if you're a retail agency like the city. So these are the agencies that we either got information from or provided notice to that the city was preparing their 2015 urban water management plan. One of the things that's new this year is that the state developed standardized tables to fill out. There's an Excel spreadsheet that you download from their website. What this does is it gives the state the ability, once everyone uploads all their Excel tables, then the state can consolidate them and they get a better picture of data for the whole state because everybody's using the same tables. In the past, the tables were all over the place and everybody did their own thing. They all had to have the same information, but they were just formatted differently or they had tables that weren't necessary. So this way, it's all standardized, and when the state consolidates all this information in a year or two, they'll have a better picture of what's going on statewide. So I highlighted some of the tables that have the most important information relative to your water supply. The first one is Table 3-1, which is your current and projected population. There's not a lot of growth projected in the city. We know your general plan is currently being updated. These are kind of based on the DWR's population tool for 2015 and projections that we had available to us, basically. Not a lot of growth. As you know, within the city, there's a lot that's built out already. Not a lot of room for growth. What that means for water demands is reflected in Table 4-3. So in 2015, you'll see that 1,074 acre feet is what you actually used. When we project that out using those population numbers out to the year 2040, it's almost double, 2,000 acre feet. What that includes, though, is that 650 acre feet of recycled water demand. And that's worth a little explanation of recycled water demand. Because I know you guys are normally probably thinking of it as more of a supply, because you could use it as, you know, for irrigation, for groundwater recharge. The way these tables are set up, you kind of have to count it twice. You have to count it as a supply and a demand. Otherwise, if you put it in the ground, you have to take it back out in order to use it. So it's a demand when it goes into the ground, and it's a supply when it comes out. And that's the only way that the math works, so that you don't end up with a deficit. So that's why recycled water demand, you'll see in one of the later tables, in Table 6-4, we were estimating 650 acre feet a year from your new treatment plant being available for either groundwater recharge or irrigation purposes.
Can we ask questions as we go along, or
yeah.
do you want to wait till the end? I guess in my mind, I'm looking at the table 4-3. And so basically, the reason why you're saying in 2040, the 1437 instead of the 1075 is the addition of the recycled water being used for, say, landscape purposes or whatever.
No, that's based on population projections increasing.
Didn't seem to me the population grew almost 40% above. When I look back at the thing, it was going up to about 11,000 from 10 on an earlier. Yeah, you went from 10 to 11, and all of a sudden we jumped 40% on the water side. I guess what concerns me a little is water seems to get used less as we move into
that, yeah.
the future, and all of a sudden I'm seeing a path where it's.
And there's a trend, and that it'll be explained in one of the
okay, that's,
the next
that,
tables
fair
coming
enough.
Up.
That's why I asked whether you wanted me to
yeah.
ask now or wait okay. till the end of the presentation.
And I can give you a brief explanation right now. The gallons per capita per day that you guys used in 2015 was really low.
No, I know it is.
And so we don't know if that's sustainable through the future. People's habits will change, and they might go back to not being as conscientious about it. So we used a higher gallons per capita per day.
So did you use the 117 or 118 that you were saying our target?
110, I believe.
Or 110,
okay. We used 110.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. And here is where that comes out, actually,
okay.
in the next table.
Which
so
table?
In your 2010 urban water management plan, you had to establish.
Can we ask what table you're
yeah,
referring
if you
to?
Tell us
I'm sorry. Yes,
we don't actually have the presentation.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And we
okay.
can't read.
So, table 5-1.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
5-1. So your 2010 urban water management plan required you to set up some targets or some goals for yeah. your daily per capita water use. And we have to go through this exercise now to see if you're meeting those. So you had a 2015 interim target and then a 2020 target. So in using the math and the data that was available then, your 2015 interim target was 122 gallons per capita per day, and your 2020 target was 117. After doing the evaluation in Table 5-2, of what you actually used in 2015, you were at 95 gallons per capita per day. So you far exceeded your 2015 goal. You're way below the 122 already. That's a lot. So basically the purpose of Table 5-2 is you can get adjustments for people who maybe hadn't met their goal. You're allowed to play with the numbers a little bit, but you guys met your goal, so we didn't need to do anything special. And the ultimate outcome is that you achieved your target reduction for 2015. Any questions at this point?
Do we get a grant because we exceeded it?
You don't not get a grant. That's one of the... actually, the reason you want to submit this by July 1st is so that if you do apply for grants, that's one of the boxes they'll check, is your 2015 urban water management plan complete? And you can check that box and say, yes, it's complete, and you can go on your merry way and keep applying for grants from DWR.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if you could include that kind of a explanation in Table 4-3 so it's clear where that number comes from, clearer to anybody who would read it,
where the
number comes from, what assumption
yes.
was made.
Let me take some notes.
I think that would be helpful. Otherwise, the same kind of question is going to come up again.
Okay.
And then we'll let you continue.
Okay. I got to capture it. Okay.
I have a question about the reclaimed water, too.
Okay.
You state that we're projecting 650 acre feet injected into the ground. Do we pull that exact same amount out?
That actually was a conversation Damaris and I had. That's the assumption, that whatever you put in the ground, you're allowed to take out. Your basin is under the authority of DWR, they need to give you some kind of confirmation letter that you're allowed to do that. You have an allocation, right? You need to start those conversations with them and not be surprised at the end, you know, when you go through all this exercise.
I also want to add, we're still in the planning process for that use of that recycled water. Right. So this urban water management plan will be updated once we're done with that and we've better determined use of recycled water and our water rights, should it be groundwater injection to extract that water. So we knew going into this we'd be revising our urban water management plan once our master recycling plan is done, but we still needed to meet the 2015 deadline.
Right. And I think that's clear, actually, in the report that we are in the process of making that kind of a decision, and that's all you can state at this point in time.
Okay, and you answered one of my questions. I'll save them for the end, but I just want to... So we have no true assurances from regional water quality that we could pump the water we put back... Let's say the Chorro Basin, for instance, because that seems the one where you have more latitude to pump a higher volume of water if it went into the Chorro Basin. At this point in time, Morro Bay doesn't really have assurances per se. Is that correct?
No, and it's probably several regulatory agencies that we would need to work with on that.
Okay.
The State Board for the water rights issues, DWR, and then also... regional board on water quality issues.
Well, because I sit on the RWRF also, I'm just trying to get my arms around if, let's say, you can't come to an agreement on the pull of that water, are you going to be looking at different options besides percolating it into the groundwater basin?
The Urban Water Right Management Plan paints one picture that may or may not happen once we're done with the analysis through the WRF project. So that's one of the reasons we have to update it at that point. We just made an assumption of one of the options available to us for use of that recycled water.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Let's see. We went through table 5.1 and 5.2. And again, this kind of, I guess, speaks to that point as well. Table 6-6 talks about expanding future recycled water use. They want you to explain what you're doing, basically, studies or otherwise, to evaluate potential recycled water use out into the future. I mean, statewide, that's what many agencies are doing, not just Morro Bay. It's becoming, because of the drought, more of an acceptable water supply that communities are more open to. So the next steps that we saw were potentially doing a market survey to identify recycled water customers and demands within the city, and doing a hydrogeological study to evaluate the potential for groundwater recharge and give some general timelines for when those might happen. But the expected increase in recycled water use is, as Rob mentioned, is unknown at this time because those studies haven't been done yet. Table 6-9 is the next one I wanted to go through. This is the projected water supply through the year 2035. They talk about the reasonably available volume, and we've broken it out here into your groundwater, surface water, and recycled water supplies. You can see the note on the bottom talks about your groundwater supply of 1,724 acre feet plus the 645 adds up to that 2369 that you see. And then your surface water rights from State Water Project is the 1313 acre feet per year. That's projected for 2020. And then by the time you get your treatment plant online and figure out what you're going to do with the recycled water, we added that 650 acre feet in the year 2025 and beyond. It's also, that 650 is also added into the groundwater number at this point, and it looks like it's double counting it, but again, you have to treat it as you're putting it in the ground and taking it out Otherwise, you'd be at a deficit.
I have a question as to Rob on this particular one, and that's the surface water side of it, because 2025, we won't even be in a contract, or we'll have to renew a contract with State Water. Do we have any ideas? If we chose to do so, would they give us 13-13 again, cut us back? Do you follow where I'm going? Because
sure.
It's an assumption. You got to do something to fill out these forms. I know how it goes.
So our agreement for State Water with the County Flood Control District, because we're a subcontractor,
right.
Sets us up for 13 acre feet a year, and that doesn't change. What happens in 7 years in October of 2021, I think it is.
Somewhere around there.
Is the local facilities bonds will be paid off. And that's a condition of the agreement that allows us to renegotiate. That's the first point where once the local facilities are paid off, we could reduce our State Water allocation. And council at their last meeting directed staff to prepare a water resources planning document to look at our water future out in time in more detail than this report is, and to address those issues. So to set the stage for where we're going to be in 7 years, whether we're going to be, you know, still a 100% State Water customer or look at more locally viable water supplies.
But you feel that price still give you the 13-13, just not deliver if it's a drought year or whatever.
Correct. So our 13-13 is contractually that's the amount that we pay for, whether we take a drop or not. But what the state can do is they have, based on environmental conditions, they can reduce that amount down. That doesn't mean they reduce our payment on that.
Exactly.
They just reduce the amount that's delivered to the city. So this year we're in a 60% year, delivery year. With our drought buffer, anything above about a 35%, we get 100% of our state water.
Right. Okay, thank you. You're welcome.
You answered my question.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if we shouldn't include in there some description of the assumption that we have basically, we're assuming, this table assumes that we will continue to use, buy state water at the same rate that we've been buying it in the past, which may or may not happen. Especially given that I know you're considering water diversification as a whole.
Right. But at this point in time, we have to make some known assumptions.
No. I understand. I'm just wondering if we shouldn't just clarify that that's the assumption built in here.
Yes, we can do that.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. Rob, I've got a question. If we don't use all of the water from our SWP, and assuming we get full delivery, do they bank it for us?
That's what's banked in San Luis Reservoir on the system, you know, up by Hollister. It stays in that reservoir until the system spills. Once the system spills, everybody's stored water resets to zero because the thought that there's no drought anymore if the system spills. We haven't had a spill in I don't know how many years on the system. But that's what the regulations say is happens to everybody's stored water resets to zero once the system spills. Not physically spills, but mathematically spills.
So it would behoove us to draw the water off when we could project what's happening there and put it in Morro Bay Lake or whatever we're doing with it, or sell it to farmers or something. And I noticed that we're checked as a retailer all the way through this document. And does that preclude us from being a wholesaler and selling water to avocado farmers and that kind of thing?
Yes, it does. We can't sell water outside of our boundary per our agreement.
Per our agreement with SWP?
Yeah, for the State Water Project, yes.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't want to see the costs they could probably be allowed to sell anyway, because it's a very low dollar amount on the acre.
Yes, the last sale, we pay, depends how much state water we get delivered to us, but somewhere in the range of, you know, 1,600 to 2,000 acre foot for state water. We can sell it for $200 an acre foot.
So you don't want to do that.
Then there's a mistake in here someplace, because there's a mention of $45 an acre foot plus a $250 staffing expense, whatever that is. That's in 6.6. So I figured that was some sort of an error. You know, we'll take all the water we can get for $45 an acre foot.
That's the basically the variable cost of state water. That's what the wet water costs us. We still have to pay debt service on much of the state water system that's not a variable cost.
What's that $250 staffing expense that they list in that 6.6?
Let me get to there. And
I understand that you've got to pay for the infrastructure. And while you're looking for that.
That's all CCWA costs, isn't it, Rob?
Just give me a second here to.
It's in the third paragraph down.
Why don't we continue on with the presentation? Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, we can talk about that later.
Okay.
I think we're going to have to discuss that amongst ourselves and probably provide some clarification to that.
Okay. Okay. So that shows, I guess this shows your projected water supplies out to the year 2035. They also want you to do an analysis of water supply reliability. So table 7-1 kind of is meant to show the basis for what an average year would be and what a dry year would be. The average year we chose is 2010, just based on the water usage that year. It was a quote-unquote average year, and you have some leeway in how you can select your average year. It wasn't a drought. It wasn't terribly wet. It was average. the volume of water the city had available was 3682, which was the sum of all your sources of state water, groundwater, and then the desal. 2015, in a single dry year, you still had all those supplies available to you. In the first year of the single dry year, you don't know that it's a single dry year. It's a little bit of you don't have a crystal ball to know that you're in a single dry year or the first year of a multiple dry year. So it's not until you get into the second or third year of a multiple dry year that you would calculate what the reduction in your supply is. And you can see the note down there, the multiple dry year in the second year, it's based on having 23% of your state water project water available. The rest of your sources remain the same. And then in the third year, it's based on 11% of your state water project water being available and no water available from the Chorro Basin. That results in an 87% of your supply being available in the second year and 44% being available in the third year. Okay. And if you remember, in 2015, your usage was 1,074 acre feet. So even if you have a reduction in your supplies, you'd still be able to meet your demands with a lot of conservation. This is showing basically the normal year. It's tables 7-2, 7-3, and 7-4. Show those different years compared to the demand projections for those same years. What you want to notice is that the when you take the supply and subtract the demand, the difference is always positive. You still have supply available to meet your demands in all those scenarios. So the next steps in the urban water management process are for your council to hold a public hearing and adopt a resolution accepting the urban water management plan. There will be a resolution prepared. It's not numbered yet, but it will be before the council meeting. We will incorporate any comments that we receive from you, from city staff, and at the public hearing, if they're appropriate, and incorporate those. This is considered a draft until after the public hearing at the council meeting. Then we will finalize it and upload it to the state's website. The document gets uploaded separately from those Excel spreadsheets. They both get uploaded to the state. We will provide copies, hard copies, to the agencies that I listed, those three agencies early on, within 30 days after it's submitted to the state. And then, as Rob mentioned, because you are going through this process of evaluating your water supplies and preparing different plans, you can actually amend your urban water management plan at any time. You don't have to wait for 2020. If your water supply or demand picture changes significantly, you can update your urban water management plan and go through the same process, including the public hearing and adoption with a resolution, at any time before the next urban water management plan is actually required of you. And I think if there aren't any otter questions.
Very good. Well,
I can't believe I said that.
we've interrupted you a number of times with questions, but we'll start with Jan. Do you have any other questions that we have not already asked?
No. I do have a few questions, and you could keep them short and sweet, and if you don't know the answer, that's fine, because I'm not trying to, blindside somebody. In Appendix D, that's the SBX7 whatever forms, everything drops off the world in 2004, and I was just wondering, on most of the forms, as you go through the 10-year baseline, it looked like you took 1995 to 2004. Is there a reason why? Is that by the state telling you a certain time frame?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That takes care of that one. This is more to Rob, and because I really haven't dealt with cities the size where you have to meet the requirements, and I think I realized after tonight this is a form purely you have to fill out for the Department of Water Resources to stay on lists for things like funding. Usually when I dealt with water studies, a lot of times it covers not only the production and the use and how you're trying to conserve, it also handles the infrastructure, future capital improvement projects, the distribution, the fire storage, things of this nature. Is there an ancillary water study the city does to cover those aspects?
There is our water master plan. Process, or what we're doing this year, our one water plan, where we're combining the three water resource documents into one document.
So there is an ancillary document.
Yes,
going to go.
It was updated in the mid-90s, the last one the city had.
Because usually when I dealt with small places, they usually deal in a five-year study, and it covers all aspects from production all the way through to all those.
So you'll see that coming in this next.
We'll issue
an RFP this summer, and you'll probably see it several times during the year at this board.
Okay, enough said. And then, let's see, it talked in here about in emergency conditions that you are allowed to charge an additional, I think that's per ordinance, an additional $3 per 100 cubic feet to the consumer if they're using over the maximums, but I never read in the document what is that maximum of residential usage where you bust into that. I don't think it's part of the tier system.
No, it's not part of the rate study. That gets set per our conservation ordinance
Is there a maximum?
There's not a number in there. It's to be determined at the time of that emergency.
Oh, okay. So it's not been determined.
It's not been determined, yes.
That explained that to me. I think you answered everything. Thank you very much.
Okay.
For me.
Dave.
Well, I had an otter question, but I'll save it for later.
Okay, Chris.
No questions at the moment.
All right, Stu, you're up.
Well, we've managed to answer most of what I've got. But one of the answers or one of the questions I have is we have one potential water client, now a partner, and I do know some people in Cayucos, and if the 30% of the reclaimed water that is in our system currently is all of a sudden not ours because Cayucos pulled out of the system, when should we plan for that? Should there be an exception in here if we're not with Cayucos anymore?
The amount that we put in that 650 recycled water is only the city's contribution. It does not include anything from Cayucos. We took the, I believe it was 835 acre feet a year of wastewater. That's the city's contribution to the treatment plant. And then we reduce that because when it goes through treatment, you don't get 100% of it back. That's where we got the 650.
So that's just Morro Bay, and it doesn't include Cayucos. Great. That's wonderful. I had a question on Chorro Valley, of course. There's some numbers in here on how much available water there is in Chorro Valley and so on. I thought that Los Osos was pumping out of Chorro Valley also, and I didn't see any notes in there about it. And, of course, along with that, what about the farmers?
Los Osos pumps out of the Los Osos groundwater basin, so which is a separate and distinct groundwater basin from the Chorro Basin. So we're the only municipality that is using Chorro. We're an appropriator out of Chorro, so most of the farming operations are riparian, so they have a first right to that water. There's also a flow limitation in Chorro Creek to us pumping water out of there. So if the creek is not flowing above 1.4 CFS, then we don't pump any water out of Chorro. And then the third issue with Chorro is it's high in nitrates. That groundwater basin has significant nitrate issues. So to make effective use of that water, we either have to blend it with our existing supply to knock the nitrate concentration down or to treat it for before. The problem with blending is we have customers that are in between the spot that we can blend and where it gets pumped out of the ground, so they get high nitrate water. So we really haven't effectively used our Chorro system since early 2000s, I'm thinking. So we've been using mainly state water, and that's really been good for our bottom line because state water is a take-or-pay contract. We pay for it whether we use it or not, so it makes sense to maximize our state water use. That was a long-winded question to whether Los Osos pumps out of the Chorro. Sorry.
Thanks, Rob. That's all I have.
You sure can.
Real quick. On the point of Chorro Basin that Stu brought up, so there is no transmission line from what your wells in Chorro Creek to the desalination station is?
No, it's a common, it's just a distribution line.
So if any water, say effluent or anything else, is pumped into that basin, we would naturally need a transmission line. There's no way you could blend it out if you follow what I'm saying.
No, we would need a separate transmission line.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Okay, I think I just had a couple of questions. First of all, I know this is a draft, so I just wanted to make sure that I can send editorial comments to you directly, and I'm sure I'm a proofreader, so I catch every little typo, and I'd love to send them to you.
I encourage that. I went to Catholic school. I think I find a lot of typos, but sometimes I'm
well, you know, sometimes when you do spell check, it doesn't catch everything.
Right.
So, and I really did read the report, so I will do that. Just a real interesting question to me. They mentioned the Morro Bay Power Plant as a possible source of our getting water, and do they have a separate source of water? And could you just explain that to me? Because I'm unfamiliar with that.
Morro Bay Power Plant is part of a mutual water company, so there's a two-party mutual water company there, PG&E and Dynergy, the owners and the former operator of the power plant. So they have a few wells on their site that they use, and they're pretty much used for coolant water. They'd run it through their desalination plant. Now, Julie's got me worried about how I pronounce that word. Their desal plant. And ran it through their plant. They also used it for fire protection on both sites there. We have an inner tie into their system right now, although we have a lapsed agreement with them to use that inner tie. So it meters water both directions in case the power plant needed an emergency or we did. We've never actually used that, but it exists if we ever need to.
Okay. Well, I just was curious. I assumed we provided the water to them.
We provide them with potable water for drinking water, but they have some facilities for water production and treatment for their when they used to have an industrial process there for that.
And then I noted that there are different measures used in the report, and I'm just curious how they compare. You use the acre feet per year and then also the gallons per capita day. How do those two measures compare? Are they, I mean, obviously one must be based on the other.
They are one of the things that it was a interesting process with DWR when they were putting these standardized tables together, because they want all the units throughout the document to be the same, and you can pick which units you use. And normally when we think of water, we think of acre feet. The only exception is when you're doing the SBX 7-7 tables, where it's in gallons per capita per day.
Okay.
So, and in wastewater, we're used to thinking of MGD, so we have to convert that to acre feet. So it's a lot of fun with units.
Okay. One suggestion I would make is to just have a single page with all the acronyms defined, because I don't know, you know, what kind of attendance you usually have at a public hearing on a report like this, but it seems to me that it would be very helpful to have just one page, because sure. This is, of course, a report that's written by engineers, and it's for a bureaucracy, and it's not really public friendly. So anything we could do, I think, to help the process along would be helpful.
I appreciate that. And just to kind of elaborate on one of the questions that Board Member Shively had, the purpose of the document is not meant to be a master plan. It's not meant to give you guidance on infrastructure or how, you know, your
right.
capital program. It's meant, really, the only people who look at this are DWR and maybe a developer who wants to come in and wants to be assured that you'll have water to serve their development. So it is meant to be public friendly. So I appreciate those comments.
Yeah, well, no, I realize it wasn't meant to be that way, but since it will go before a public hearing, it's just helpful to have something like that ready for to explain to the.
Well, I agree. At a few spots, if you put acre feet in paren or AF in your tables, it tells what those numbers are. I realize the DWR knows it backward and forward, but sometimes to the lay reader, it was a little troublesome for me on a couple, and I'm kind of in the business of this stuff, but
okay.
It kind of caught my eye. And the other I'd say real quickly is when you gave the projection of total water usage in 2008, I forget which table it's in, it's over a 10-year period, and it was 13,000 acre feet. And the first thing I thought was, this is off by a factor of 10, because you only give a specific year date on it rather than saying, no, it's 1995 to 2004 production. I think I'd put the range so that people realize you're not just talking about 2004. It took me a minute or two just to realize what was happening on the item. Because this is a town where a lot of people read the public documents here, and there will be questions asked, and that's where Marlis is, I think, going.
That's exactly right. And I would appreciate getting this presentation. If you would email it to me, that would be helpful. And then I will send, just as I say, there are more editorial comments and just helping to make it clear to the public.
Smoother.
Yes, smoother. otherwise, thank you for the hard work and good work.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Madam Chair, would you like to open this up to public comment?
Yes, I would.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any? Ah. Our public member has shaken his head. No, he's not going to comment. So we'll close it. All right. Let's see where we are here. Okay. So we will send direct comments, and then you have captured anything else that you might want to add for recommendations to the council. So future agenda items.
Push it forth.
Do you need anything from us other than the comments we've made directly and will make,
Do you need
Rob?
A recommendation to City Council?
It would be nice to have a recommendation to move this forward with comments received.
All right. I will entertain a motion to that effect.
Well, first I want to say thank you to M&S. You did a very nice job on this report. It read well. I was under a little bit of a disillusion. It was actually, so to speak, the water plan or the water study when I first read it. And now I know it. I hate to say it, it's a form filling out project that you have to do with the DWR to comply. So, but I think it was a well read report.
So are you?
And I'll make a motion to recommend approval of the Urban Water Management Plan for 2016.
All right, with the additions and comments that we have made in this meeting.
I'm sorry, with the additions and comments made tonight.
Okay, great. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay. All right, now we will move on to future agenda items. So, Rob, you're up.
So, for next meeting, we have a couple of timely items. We have our biannual sewer system management plan audit results that we'll be presenting to the board, and then the big feature of the year, the street summit. Where we'll be looking at our 2016-17 paving plan, draft paving plan. Revealing the candidate streets.
And how are we going to publicize this to our citizens?
Probably our normal mechanisms, Facebook, city web page. We'll announce it at council meetings and planning commissions. It'll be coming up. So
okay. And we can also publish.
You can also talk it up on the street.
Okay, we'll do that.
I think we can make, what's that?
This plan?
No, the announcement of the next PWAB
street
item
summit.
For street summit. Yeah, I think we can make the water bill.
It also works that view from the harbor you've been putting in the Bay News. That actually, it's one of the things I read. I don't buy other newspapers. I tend to read
right.
The Bay News.
In the city manager's column in the Bay News, that would be very helpful.
Okay.
Yeah, I think because as I've mentioned in previous meetings, people do talk to me about the streets, so
yes.
I'd much rather that they came here and talked about the streets.
Okay.
they don't yell at you.
Thank you. And the other two items that you have as future agenda items will not be on June.
They won't be on June. We'll schedule some time to bring those forward.
Okay. Well, this should be an exciting next meeting. So that will be June 15th, 5:30 p.m. here at the Vets Hall.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
That's it. Then we are adjourned.
That's the quickest. It's still light out.